Welcome to the podcast.
Welcome to the podcast, which is our new intro because Maggie forgot it last week.
Welcome to the podcast. This is the Devil's Threesome with me, Maggie Carr.
Whoa, okay.
And Sam's over there.
This is the Devil's Threesome, your erotic book club with me, Andrew Coles.
Well, that's
welcome
good.
To the podcast. This is the Devil's Threesome, an erotic book club with me, Sam Carr.
Great.
Okay, is it an erotic book club or is it your erotic book club?
I think it can be either.
We got to get our branding down.
The.
Well.
I don't want to be presumptuous, Maggie. I think there's more than one erotic book club out there.
Well,
I don't think that's true. We're the only erotic book club. I agree with Maggie on this one.
It's probably not true, but it's at least we're probably the only one recording this early on a Sunday morning.
Sunday morning?
10 o'clock on a Sunday morning. Woof.
Okay, dude. My form of church is just sleeping in until 2 p.m., so this is technically against my religion.
Now, I want to hear more about this church of yours.
Yeah. Can you tell us more, please?
It's called the Church of the Unemployed.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Yeah.
Whom do you worship?
God helps those who help themselves.
Well, worshiping is kind of a big idea. And like, I'm not really sure any of the congregation or me is really up for that sort of thing right now. You know, we're just going through a time of transition. It's, you know, we're just trying to figure out what we want to do with our lives and like where money's going to come from. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Mm-mm. No, I would really like an answer to those questions. Do you have any pamphlets or literatures or chick tracts or anything like that?
Here, let me pull out this pamphlet here. Oh, sorry, there's some. It's kind of torn.
It's fine.
Yeah, and it's a little. That's some food crusting. Don't worry. Here you go. Oh, there it is. There you go.
Ooh, Russell,
you
have
it.
Russell. Oh, let's see.
Awesome. Oh, God, okay. You let us nap all day.
Oh, I accidentally opened up the hymnal. Here, let me flip it over. Let's see. Don't do anything. Oh, easy enough. Rule number two. There is no other rule. Okay,
no,
cool.
No, you missed rule number two. It's right there. It's rule number two, complain about having to do things.
Oh, yeah, there no, I missed that one. The one I read was rule number three, don't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
Rule number two, whatever Sam just said.
Complain about having to do things.
Rule number one, don't talk about sleep church.
Technically that's my own version of prayer and following the faith. Really, rule number three is once you have to do things, do them as shittily as possible so that you won't get asked to do them again.
Now that's a good rule just for life.
There you go.
In any religion, really.
Speaking of,
we're
doing a pretty shitty job here. The book we read this week was A Vampire's Weekend, Book One. By Sadie Koenig, who I think is the sister of the cereal lady.
No, I think it's actually the cereal lady.
She's the sister of Ezra Koenig, who is the main singer of Vampire Weekend.
Oh my God! Mm. It all comes around! Holy
shit!
Yeah,
man.
Yeah, Sam came on the call this morning asking, is Vampire Weekend a band? Yeah, Sam. It's 2017. Where have you been?
No, that doesn't make any sense. I
don't Vampire
understand.
Weekend has been a band since like fucking 2012, my man.
That's
earlier than
like
that.
Yesterday. 2000,
no, Maggie, 2008.
2008. Oh, holy shit!
And really, they were a band before that when they were a rap group that had the song. They had two of the songs that they later turned into Vampire Weekend songs were originally rap songs,
oh
where
my God.
Ezra was just rapping about like one of them was Pizza Party, PIZZAPRTY.
That sounds bad.
That sounds
it is bad. Oh, it's terrible.
I mean, I don't know. It's just, you know, I just don't understand you young punks and your music groups or whatever.
You are
yeah,
what?
Yeah.
Like,
Sam, you don't understand us punks when we listen to a band that formed in 2006 when you were in eighth grade.
Yeah, Sam, you're like a chill 24, right? I'm pretty sure you're supposed to know who Vampire Weekend is.
Yeah,
I don't know. It just seems so silly. It just seems like a silly name for a band.
I'm sorry. Were you playing Quidditch yesterday? Oh yeah, you were. That's right. You had a broom between your legs and you were running around with chasing balls.
It just seems silly, like using an Oxford comma all the time. You know, like
okay,
just
there it is.
Gives a fuck.
No, Sam got the joke. He knows who Vampire Weekend is. Is this one big gag?
Abort, abort, abort.
Yeah, get us out of here. Let's talk about the book.
Yeah, so the book is by Sadie Koenig, which yes. I'm pretty sure is actually the serial host, but she just changed her name a little bit because her regular name is Sarah, but I think she just changed a little bit so that way she'd have some anonymity, but she likes her last name, so she kept it.
She thought she could escape the podcast format by writing a neurotic novel, but she did not expect
us. She was
us.
Wrong. No, it's nope. It's actually the Koenig siblings. It's Sarah, Sadie, and Ezra. And
and two of them are famous and popular, and one of them is writing erotic fiction.
Exactly.
Poor Sadie. She's like the Khloe Kardashian of their family.
Hey,
the
no, problem Khloe is fit now. She's
no,
like.
We're not talking about the Kardashians.
I'm not talking about her weight, Maggie. I'm just saying how popular and awesome they are.
I'm talking about more of like her vibe. Like Khloe is definitely one of the cooler ones now, right?
I don't know.
I don't know. Oh god, get us out of here. Let's actually talk about the book. It's about this girl who goes downtown and is then there's some more dubious consent.
Okay, I'm not going to stand for this. I'm not going to stand for this. We are a book club and we're here to tell people about books. We're not here to like summarize the plot in two sentences. We're going to talk about every gritty detail.
We can summarize the plot and then get into the details.
It's just ridiculous when we summarize the plot and then we go back and summarize the plot again, like each of us individually, which is what happened last week. And I had to cut out like 20 minutes.
Well, that was also due to technical issues.
Yeah, that was not really our fault.
Someone using the wrong microphone.
Bill Gates.
Cough, cough.
Designing the internet incorrectly for us. No, that was definitely Sam. Now I just wanted to start off by pointing out first typo, 24 words in. It was just the case of a wrong its, it apostrophe s, when just its was needed. So really, who gives a fuck about an inverted Oxford comma? In between the t and s of its.
Well, okay, but the thing is about this book, like, we should talk about the plot, but I'm glad you brought up that part, because honestly, I didn't really notice anything else past that in terms of like grammatical or spelling errors, which is pretty impressive. Considering some of the other books we've read.
Stylistically, it's boring. I fell asleep halfway through this book, and it is 16 pages long.
All right. Everyone, let's all take an act that we will summarize.
Okay.
Maggie, summarize act one, please.
You fell asleep after that, so.
Well, I finished it. I finished the book. I woke up and finished it. Act one. We open. It's Friday night. And
gotta get down.
Our main character is upset that this coworker named Alice, a spunky and exciting 25-year-old who refused to let the working life get her down,
She's probably just at her restaurant.
What is that?
Just look it up later.
What was that?
It's a reference.
It was bad.
No, the older crowd's loving it.
Oh, okay. I believe you. Speaking of. Crowds loving things. I'm pretty sure this might be sort of redone Twilight fan fiction because there is somebody named Alice, and like as someone who has read the Twilight books, not recently, but like has definitely read them in my life, this writing kind of stinks of it, TBH.
We'll probably get into it a little later, but that's one of the reasons I've been avoiding picking vampire shit, because I feel like it's kind of ruined by the Twilight stuff.
Sure.
I got that vibe a little bit too, but then it gets better for me, in my opinion.
No, I mean, I'm not saying it's inherently bad because it is Twilight fan fiction. I'm just saying it might be that.
Yeah, fair.
So Alice hasn't come to work, which is upsetting to our main character, who we don't know the name yet. I think we find out her name in like act three, so settle in.
Yeah, we'll get to it, yeah.
Alice isn't there, and usually Alice and our main character go out together on Friday nights. Instead, Alice is texted and sends back like go to this place, like with like an address, I guess.
And it's a new bar.
Yeah.
Not a nude bar, unfortunately.
Because Alice took an early weekend to go on a weekend trip with some guy she had just met. Which, here. She said in no uncertain terms that she was eloping to the mountains to have wild and crazy sex between bottles of expensive wine and sessions of exciting downhill skiing. That's some Twilight bullshit.
Yeah. Now, can you keep reading that quote there? Because there's a phrase that comes up literally twice in the same paragraph that should not really come up twice in the same like book even.
Okay. Is it in the next paragraph? Do you want me to just go for it?
Yeah. Just keep going. I'll stop you.
I nearly threw the phone across the office, but I quickly received a follow-up text informing me of a new bar that had opened up across town. Not in the best neighborhoods, sure, but it was guaranteed to be exciting. She told me that it was the place to be this weekend. I shrugged to no one and said, why the hell not, to the rubber ducky that sat guard above my old computer monitor. I was looking for an adventure, and Alice shall provide. In Alice we trust.
Hmm. Okay, didn't really have what I was looking for.
What were you looking for?
You may have read the second one. Oh, yeah, you did read the second one. Because earlier in that paragraph, she says, I pulled out my cell phone and shot Alex a text message asking where she'd gone, adding in no uncertain terms that she was essentially leaving a soldier behind on the battlefield. That was the scared, sacred girl's Friday night out. First of all, run-on sentence. Second of all, you can't just use the phrase no uncertain terms like twice in a row. It's very bad style.
Yeah, I mean, it's, maybe there are no ones, there's no uncertainty here, do you know what I mean?
Apparently, but
except
like,
what does no uncertain terms mean? Because it's like, just, it's her, like, lead into, like, a kind of weird metaphor.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I think it's just word garbage.
Yeah, it's definitely word garbage, which is what this book is, 99% of, is word garbage. So that's pretty much act one. Act two.
Yeah, act one is her prepping to go to this bar and then going to it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'd say act two starts when she's going to the bar. She hails a cabbie. The license plate said fresh and there's dice in the mirror.
If anything,
you could say this cab was rare. But she said, take me to this sketchy bar.
Yeah, okay. Well, I was going to do the thing. Whatever.
You see, the thing is, if you want to make it a joke and not just you saying a thing, you have to kind of incorporate the current conversation into it.
Whatever.
Oh.
Yeah. Comedy lesson number, what are we at, like 4 or 5? No. Comedy lesson number 0. Don't blow your nose into a microphone.
I'm so far away from this mic, you have no idea.
Is it too much to ask to just have you leave the room?
Yes.
Good. Go to your sick yurt. Go out to the sick yurt and stay there until you get better, please.
I'll light the ceremonial fire.
Breathe some patchouli and sandalwood.
Okay.
Oh God.
So she gets in a cab and she's taking it downtown to this shitty old place with like graffiti all over the walls and like candle lighting the graffiti murals of like ancient battles, and the churches are all unmuralized, and I'm like, these graffito vampires are very interesting. Oh, oops, spoiler. But
uh-oh.
The cabbie's like, whoa, no one ever comes this side of town. Even us cabbies don't like driving out here. And it's like, why not? You don't like driving where you're paid to drive? Or just like maybe people don't drive around. Maybe vampires don't trust cabbies, which is strange because you'd think they'd be perfect prey.
Well, Andrew, that's the thing. I'm pretty sure cabbies would know that, like,
cabbies have a natural fear of vampires.
Well, that, yeah, think about it. They are like you said,
rabbits and wolves.
Nobody loves cabbies, so they're not missed. Mm-hmm. So if a cabbie goes downtown or to this like bad area, then they could just be easily picked off. And maybe they tell stories to each other about like the
around
people
the
who cabbie never came
campfire.
Back. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The one in a garbage can, the fire in a garbage can, they all huddle around for warmth.
They're all just in their cars, parked around this garbage can, sticking their hands out of the window, warming.
Yeah, it's a roundup to keep the vampires out.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the Uber is just really popular over there, you know?
Yeah, that's probably what it is. It's probably a hipster neighborhood. That's what it is. Vampires are hipsters, obviously.
Yes, of course.
There is a description of a very stinky person in this bar, which she goes into. And spoiler alert, JK, I'm just going to continue describing it.
The bar is called the Staff and Cup.
The Staff and Cup, yes. But it's deserted, basically, except for a bunch of old dudes and like a stinky guy.
Modeled after a traditional English pub.
Exactly. Yep. Who begin to flirt with her and she rejects them, which I was pretty proud of. I was like, oh, I like how she's standing up for herself here and not taking these gross pickup lines. She tries to order a martini and is rebuffed because they only serve beer and whiskey, which I don't think there's an establishment in the world that only serves beer and whiskey, but you know.
It's this one, and it's got horrible customer service.
Well, he gave it to her for free.
Yeah.
Like, what more could you want?
She asked for whiskey on the rocks, and then the man at the end of the bar gave another loud cry, and cat called down the bar. I like this girl. She's got some spunk. Like, it's like, okay, dude, chill out.
Okay, she had two choices of something to order. So if she had ordered a beer, would have you been like, boring? Like, what was he saying by telling her that she had some spunk by ordering whiskey? I just don't get it.
That he wanted to either have sex with her or kill her and drink her blood.
Yeah, what do people mean when they catcall anybody, Andrew?
Now that's a good question.
No, I did make a note, though, because the bartender does give her the whiskey. It just says poured a nondescript amber liquid into a small, shabby glass. This one was on the house, he muttered. I was like, is it drugged? Like, come on.
No, I'm pretty sure it can't be nondescript if it's whiskey. The descript is whiskey.
Yes.
And also amber. Like, nondescript means nondescript.
Also liquid.
Yeah. It's amber. So, yeah.
Yeah, there's a whole lot of those where an author just throws in a nice sounding word and has absolutely no idea what it means.
Yeah. It's real garbage.
And like, really, nothing is nondescript here. We're getting like pretty robust descriptions about fucking everything. Like,
oh yeah, no. I thought of a fun drinking game while I was reading this first page, actually, but it was every time you see an adjective or an adverb, drink.
You wouldn't die. You wouldn't fall asleep halfway through this book, you would die.
You would fall into the big sleep.
The big sleep. Yes.
Well, I was gonna say the issue is all of us, I'm pretty sure at this point, read these books right before we record this podcast, so I feel like it would be a much more interesting podcast if we played that drinking game.
Oh, here's what I'm saying.
Oh, Sam, geez.
It's just that, like, your microphone sounds bad. Sam, your microphone sounds bad. Oh, you were recording on the wrong one. Sam, you're so funny.
Yeah, well,
that was an impression of how we started this recording.
Yeah, I already slur way too much.
That's true.
So...
yeah, we've had a lot of letters from the NAACP about Maggie's slurring problem.
Why is it the NAACP?
Because racial slurs, Maggie. Okay.
Oh, shit! Ah! You caught me on that one!
I know why you picked this act, I'm pretty sure, because I know the next paragraph starts talking about it. Do you want to get into that?
I'm a little unclear about what you're saying.
It's the ARG of the season.
The alternate reality game?
Yeah.
I'm so confused.
Okay, here, I'll read the quote for you, so that way... He smelled vaguely of cedar, all things.
Yeah. There's more odors. I had that highlighted. I'm just flabbergasted that, like, five books in a row, people have just been smelling these weird incense smells.
Yeah. Here, read the whole paragraph. Starting at I intended.
I felt his tongue glaze across my bloody cheek, and something clicked in my head.
That's far away.
Way too far.
Fine. I leaned back into him now, smelling his cologne.
No, that's too far too, bitch. We're still in the bar.
That's my ass. What are you talking about? Ugh, what are you talking about?
It's right after she gets the whiskey.
Meh.
Like, we talk about smells like halfway through the book. They do talk about smells again later in the book.
Well, here. But I may have missed this first one.
I'm going to read this paragraph. I intended to take another sip, but was interrupted by somebody tapping my shoulder. I turned to face an impossibly pale man, but he was barely a man, a boy in his late teens at most, with long, dreaded, unkempt hair. He smelled vaguely of cedar, of all things, and I found myself wondering what cologne smelled just like he'd been running around in the woods. However, invented it just deserved a medal, because it smelled divine. So this kid was probably running around in the woods.
Yeah, another Twilight-y reference.
Yeah, some Twilight bullshit. Why does he have dreads?
I don't know.
This is all around bad.
He's a vampire. He doesn't have time to waste.
He can't wash his hair.
Washing his hair.
Didn't you know that vampires are hydrophobic?
You don't just get dreads when you don't wash your hair, y'all.
No, it's a choice. Well, sure, but he also can't wash his hair. Water can't touch vampires.
That's right, because they melt.
No, no, it like just can't touch witches. Them. Like wicked witches. Everything repels it.
No, they just can't touch water because all the cologne that they're wearing would wash off. Oh, that's right. They pay a lot of money for that shit. Oh,
okay. Sorry, the vampire who explained that to me probably was lying then.
Yeah, was he also trying to lick your face?
Yeah, a little bit.
Anyway, so, Andrew, keep going on. To stop jumping so far ahead. Your job is to summarize this bar act.
Okay, I'm sorry. I just got
act.
Excited by the smell, and I didn't realize that there was...
There's a lot of stinking
skimming,
in this book.
So yeah. I didn't notice that first one.
This teen, hits on her, basically, and she's just like, leave me alone, you rando teen.
Yeah. And then she gets hit on by someone who smells vaguely, quote, like the sewers of the 14th Street that were constantly backing up, spewing a green and gray sludge into the road. Thanks for describing what sewers do.
Yeah, well, yep. And the kid is actually kind of nice, I guess. He's like, are you lost? This isn't a nice part of town. But then this guy is like, you looking for a good time? I'll fuck you in more ways than you can even imagine. And like, it's just like, ugh. Like, who says that? Whose opening line is that?
Well, that's the sewer
someone
man.
Someone with a face which that was cragged and blistered by the wind.
Okay, again, so, what does craggy only, faces look like? Like,
yeah, not only do we have the smells, but we've got people with mountainous faces.
So she decides to leave.
Yeah.
Shockingly. She takes us into Act 3.
Well, yeah, she slaps this, like, random drunkard, and then it's like, I'm out.
Yeah, and then, so what ends up happening, he goes to, like, so she slaps him, and then she's like, oh, for a moment, I thought his hand began to glow an unnatural red color, and then this other dude that she had noticed in the bar before comes to her rescue in the blink of an eye.
Yeah, he's described as middle-aged and drinking red wine.
And all in black, I think.
I thought this bar only had whiskey and beer. Did he bring his own wine?
He brought it from home, Maggie.
Maggie, it does only have whiskey and beer.
He brought his own wine.
Yes.
Oh, wait.
He brought his own wine. Oh, wait a second.
Wait a second.
No, wait.
It's
maybe
red.
He's just Jesus. Maybe he's Jesus
He turned whiskey into wine.
No, he turned the water in the beer into wine. And then he just had mixed beer and wine.
He had yeasty wine.
Mmm.
Ugh.
Y'all, listen.
You can't make wine without yeast. But,
y'all,
yeah.
what if it's blood?
Whoa. I didn't even think of that.
I know, right?
Oh my god, because these are vampires.
Yeah.
Whoa.
What if it's blood?
So they there's a bit of a fight where this man comes to her rescue, and we find out that his name is Nathan, the man who's coming to her rescue,
yep.
Because the kid gets involved too. And so they're all, like, the man's holding the drunkard up, the one that stinks like the
neck.
Sewer. Yeah, and there's, like, blood and stuff, which is weird because I didn't think vampires bled, but whatever.
The drunkard might not be a vampire, Sam.
You're true, yeah. But then they'd say something about the watch, which I don't give a shit. And then we find out that our main character's name is Mary, which is appropriate because
yes.
She's quite a Mary Sue. In that she has no personality whatsoever. Anyway, so Nathan gets her name and is like, you should go home because this is not the place for you. And so then she leaves.
There is a little bit of world building before she leaves where they tell Nate to stop here. The drunkard spoke, trembling, with anger or with fear. I wasn't sure. Nathan, you know you can't do anything to me. We'll watch. We'll be here in a minute's notice if you do. They'll put you away where you belong. And then later, Nate, he's right. The watch is likely to be here any second anyways. What the fuck is the watch?
Doesn't matter.
It doesn't really matter.
It's just some weird vampire organization. There's a million of them. They're all the fucking same.
Yep.
Oh, and you're right. The guy isn't a vampire because Nathan does say to him that this is the one time in your life your stench will save you. He says he would drain him dry if he didn't smell like a stable. So.
Mm. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so then she runs because
yeah,
Nathan
she,
tells her
she
to.
She decides to bounce.
Yeah. And as she goes, she trips on snow, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep, because she's a great character. Yeah, she trips on snow and then
hey, that's just
blacks
slippery,
out,
dude.
I think, at which point she then gets hit by something. She doesn't understand what, And then she realizes that she's being attacked by three men who were apparently the friends of the drunkard. Nope. No babies.
Oh, damn it.
Yet. But yeah, so then they threaten her, and then Nathan shows up again after she kicks one of them in the groin, and he kills at least one of them, maybe more, and then he saves her.
Whoa.
Oh.
Ding dong.
Ding dong. Who's joining us?
I don't know.
Oh.
Let's find out.
It's me, Nathan. I'm the vampire guy.
Hi, Nathan.
Hello.
So just a quick question. We were trying to check this out before. Is it true that vampires can't touch water?
Well, I mean, there's
Who are you asking? Oh, Nate.
Yeah, I'm asking
some,
Nate.
There's some interesting lore on that. I'd say vampires in my mythology, we are hydrophobic, which doesn't mean that we're afraid of water per se. It's more of a, it can't touch us, we repel it.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, so I do I do wash in blood.
Interesting.
Does that mean that you can walk on water?
I mean, listen, I don't want to get into some wide theories about how Jesus was actually a vampire, yes.
That's where I wanted to go.
But yes, I can walk on water. And
did you know Jesus? Were you a contemporary of Mr. Christ?
I mean, listen, I used to go by a different name.
Was it Gautama Buddha? Or wait, no. What was his name?
Was it Judas Iscariot?
Perhaps it was.
Was it Pygmalion?
Was
Did you
teach a woman
named Pygmalion?
Did you teach a woman to be a proper lady? Did you take like a common
kitchen wench
and teach her to be a proper
lady? Was your name Richard Gere?
I am Richard Gere.
I knew it. You're Richard Gere.
Yes.
We broke the code. Richard Gere is a vampire.
By teaching a lady how to be a lady, by teaching a kitchen wench how to be a lady, I brought her outside, licked her bloody cheek, and fucked her in the cold.
Okay.
Mr. Gere, I know you have a long storied career full of many, many films.
Of course.
And,
I've got that one where I hang out with a dog.
Yeah, no, I was just wondering, could you maybe give us five of the ones that you've been in, and we'll just kind of count them down.
Totally. So there's Pretty Woman, of course.
Five. Or one, yeah.
There's that one with a Shiba Inu on the cover.
Oh, yeah,
oh,
two.
Oh, yeah, two.
And there's some other 90s rom-coms.
No, that doesn't count.
Yeah.
We need some specifics, please.
Well, listen. Well, listen, guys. I am Richard Gere. I don't have the best memory. Oh, fuck.
You've heard about Richard Gere's drug problem, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, when you're a vampire who's been alive for at least 7,000 years, it all kind of runs together and you forget which movies you've
exactly.
been
in. Exactly. You name three other Richard Gere movies. I dare you.
Yeah, you think you're such a big Richard? You think you're a gearhead? No. Yeah.
Twilight, for one. They got you to play a vampire because, of course, you're a vampire.
Untrue.
There was the one with the cat on the cover where Richard Gere switches a body with a cat. That was a pretty good one.
That happened.
Well, that was in real life, though.
Yeah.
Then they made a dramatic documentary.
It was a documentary. Yeah.
Yeah. What was it like working with Werner Herzog on that documentary about the time you, Richard Gere, turned into a cat?
You know, Werner Herzog is actually very, very like light and happy in person. You wouldn't expect it.
Oh, okay. Mm,
interesting.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is me.
So the problem with turning into a cat is that it really brings to light the problems of being a human being in this world.
Werner Herzog is here with us in the studio. I didn't realize.
Yes. Hello. How's it going?
Hey, hey, Werner. Do you remember that one Halloween
please,
where you
please call me Vernie? We've gone over this so many times.
I'm so sorry. Do you remember that one Halloween where I dressed up as a giant gear?
That was so funny. I laughed
for days. And you were Sonic the Herzog.
Yes, it was good. Oh, yeah. The best part was when I took off my costume and it was tails underneath.
Yes.
Well, so you didn't really take off your costume then. You just had another costume underneath.
Yeah, well, it was two costumes.
Do you think that we're all just wearing costumes on top of other costumes?
From a certain perspective, all people are wearing costumes. And the only way we can remove them is through the magic of documentary film.
Wow, you really got them going.
I heard that there was another way, which is to just get killed by nature. Just let nature wash over you and just destroy you, as it's always wanted to do.
Actually, that was a line added by the producers. I don't actually believe that's one.
Wait, you did the producers?
Yes, I did the old producers with Mel Brooks.
Okay,
and
Gene I didn't Fyder. Realize that.
Yeah,
was Richard Gere in that movie too?
Yes.
Yeah, he was. He was playing
the
part
third producer.
I was the
unfortunately,
smug Nazi.
Most of his role had to be left on the cutting room floor.
That's right.
It just didn't work in the film.
I got a little bit too enthusiastic about it, and I wanted to play all the parts. Do you know what I mean?
Well, the problem was he just kept getting so involved with the Nazi iconography of the picture that he it was really uncomfortable for some of our more Jewish inclined producers of the film. Not the characters, the producers, but the producers
the style
of the producers.
Armbands. Ugh, let's move away from this.
Richard Gere's a Nazi, folks.
Anyway, so
this sort of deep dive on pop culture and people you probably have never heard of, maybe, is the only thing you can expect here at the Devil's Threesome.
Let's
Do we
get
talk
back
about
to...
books?
Yeah,
sometimes.
Let's get back to the fucking book.
Okay. So this is Act Three. So, as we said, Nathan saves her before rudely interrupted by Nathan and Werner Herzog. So Nathan saves her. Ugh,
you know
God
what I
can
really
Maggie.
Go for? Nathan's hot dog.
Nathan's hot dog?
That's are you a talking brand about his, of hot dogs.
Are you talking about his
no,
wiener?
No, a his, Nathan's hot dog.
His penis?
Brand of
like
hot
the,
dog.
The company.
His
no, like
hot
the tube full of the
penis?
Tube of intestinal wrapping filled with meat.
I mean, kind of. That's kind of what a penis is. They're not really your intestines so much, but like they're inside you.
No, Sam, I think we're having a fundamental like communication thing.
No,
I'm talking about the food item hot dog, and you're talking about the piece of genitalia.
Piece of hot vampire meat. Anyway, no. So he murders them, and then
fucks
he
up
kind
Mary
of
against a wall.
Casts,
there you go.
Well, yeah, but he casts some kind of weird spell on Mary to make
her
calm.
He licks the side of her neck.
Yeah, which
that's
I think
how he does it.
Has yeah. There's I think it's some kind
it's
like of
like
a, pheromonal thing. Probably
it's like the thing you do with cats. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Where you
lick
hold...
their necks to calm them down.
Yes.
Yeah. You get a hairball though. It sucks, but that's the only way to calm your cat down sometimes. So
you yeah. Like so he basically makes her go all pliant, and she is like she's like
fuck me.
I mean it's the vampire's thrall.
It's true.
Yeah, it's definitely like vampire thrall shit. Which. Fuck, dude. Like, we gotta stop reading these kind of, like, weird consensual books.
At least this one is a little more fantastical and not, like, oh,
that's
I
true.
Put a drug in her milk.
That's true.
It's more like, I am a living date rape drug. That's interesting. Vampires are basically just walking date rape drugs.
So then they start groping each other. And he pushes her into an alley and up against a wall, and then he's like touching her all over, and she's like grinding her butt into his junk area. And then he reaches down into her pants and finds her clitoris. He starts like he said it says he began rotating his fingers in small circles. I'm not sure exactly what that looks like, but I'm sure you can imagine whatever. Anyway.
Sam, I'm pretty sure it's clear. I understand that, like, this might, this really is all a fantasy for you, but listen, it's, that yeah, that part was very classic smut normal.
Yeah.
And just kind of sex normal. Like, if you're massaging a vagina, little circles is a good way to start.
Okay.
Yeah. Hot tips.
So then it has one of my favorite lines in the book. So she's talking about how his hands are like just like touching her all over. And so she says his hands would seem to speed up for several seconds, inciting my pleasured moans and heightening my sensitivity. And then he would back off, building me slowly and gradually. It was
as edging.
It was as if he were playing a game with his hands, and I was the definite winner. I highlighted that last line. I thought it was a good one.
I mean, it's just like vampire foreplay, right?
Yeah. Or regular foreplay, really.
I mean, if one of them is a vampire.
Well, I guess, but it seems like regular foreplay. It seems like there's really not much different between regular foreplay and vampire foreplay, if we're gonna make that distinction.
I don't know. He licked her neck and then she was into it.
Yeah.
Hey man, I don't think I've been with a lady whose neck I haven't licked. And that is not a joke, that's a fact.
That's so tender of you.
Yeah. I'm a tender lover, Sam. What can I say?
Sure. So then he pulls her leggings down and opens up his pants, and then he sticks it in her. There's not really much like description of his penis. They talk about his erection, lay
well,
against
she can't
him.
See it.
Which is weird.
I just thought it was cool how they actually said penis in this book. It was very unique.
Because a free hand pressed down on my lower back, bending me over again and pushing me towards the wall. I steadied myself once more. I nearly screamed when the head of his penis made contact with me. And then she talks about the sex. Apparently, it's very slow.
He entered agonizingly slow, which is not correct. It should be agonizingly slowly.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
Ugh. So terribly slowly that all I wanted was to scream. God, this book. Oh, can we finish? Because I just want to talk about how badly written it is.
Sure. So then he gropes her a little bit while they do this. He says her name a lot, which she finds very hot.
I love the way I imagined his lips forming the M in Mary. That's weird.
Yep. And then I don't know why she would find that attractive. It doesn't seem like it'd be good for any kind of like lingus activity, if you know what I mean. And then he licks the blood off her cheek because he's a vampire.
Yeah.
And then they are just going for it. And then he came in her.
Well, and then she comes too. They come at the same time, and then
it's really cute.
He kisses the side of her hand tenderly, and then she's suddenly surrounded in darkness. And then the next thing she remembers is being fully clothed and riding in a taxi back to town.
Yeah. And then the taxi driver says, "Rough night, eh?" And she says, "Yeah, I guess." And then it's over.
Thankfully.
So, I mean, I guess that is a metaphor or something, maybe, for one night stands that you do when you're drunk.
Or
but,
date rape.
Yeah, or that.
I mean, vampires have always been a symbol of non-consensual sex with someone who's quote-unquote too charming to resist, by which that means coercive. So vampires really, as a sex symbol, have never been, like, you know, on the level.
Like, there's so much, incubus and succubus kind of mythology with them, too, where it's like, oh, yeah, I mean, I wasn't an unfaithful to you, sailor husband. An incubus vampire visited me and impregnated me.
Yeah, his name was Nathan.
His name was
Nathan. The sexiest name ever.
Well, he said his name was Nathan, and then halfway through he said his name was Richard. So
wait,
I was confused.
Did he really? I didn't notice that one.
Halfway through he started asking me to call him Richard Gere. It was weird.
And then see, now you guys are funny.
And then he started making barking noises, and the dog ran up, and like, I don't know. It was a weird
And then this weird
night.
German guy with a handheld camera showed up and was just filming the whole thing.
He was filming the whole thing, but then he was also like talking about like German existentialism on top of it. It was like dark and weird.
Which is weird, because I figure for a movie of that budget, they would just do it in ADR
in
after
post.
The shooting. But yeah. They were recording on set. It was weird.
Well, no, from what I understand is they record on set, but then they do dub it over. They do a different version, because Werner Herzog just gets real horny and weird about death.
Yeah, he just can't not talk about it. Yeah, okay.
I was going to say, I'm pretty sure what they do, just to like, you know, compound the layers, is they talk during it, and then they dub it over in like Japanese, and then they redub it in English.
Ah.
Damn.
So that way, yeah.
Yeah, I got you.
But they have like a German person dub it in Japanese, and then they have like a Chinese person dub it in English from the Japanese version.
God.
It's like using Google Translate, but kind of better, because at least there were some human interaction, so you don't get like the really stupid thing that are like, like, Google thinks that the word call is the same as the word feel, or whatever. Anyway,
so let's talk about this book. It was bad overall.
It was so bad. She's such a terrible writer.
I'm going to disagree with you guys. I actually like this book.
Dude, every fucking word, every verb has at least one adjective, if not an adjective and an adverb in front of it, which is like rule number one, not how not to write a book.
That is absolutely a tell that this is like Twilight fan fiction, by the way.
Yeah.
So there is that. I mean, like I said earlier, there's nothing wrong with it being Twilight fan fiction. It's just like, that is what it is. And
there's some sentences that just don't make any sense. There's one where she was described as turning her wrist towards herself, which doesn't fucking, I don't understand what you're trying to like get at there.
And this is also,
I flipped my wrist towards myself, checking the time. Perfect. 4:30. How do you flip your wrist towards yourself?
There's, it's looking
like
at
your
wrist
doesn't have sides. It's your wrist all the way around.
It does have sides. It has an underside and an overside.
Yeah, then say I flipped the top of my wrist towards myself,
that
not just my wrist.
Stupider.
Or just say you fucking checked your watch with a flick of your wrist.
I looked at the dorsal side of my wrist.
It's like this author was looking at a Tumblr post where it's like, don't use said, use all these fucking laboriously complicated words like interjected or remembered or bullshit like that, which is actually terrible advice. Because you want to use said, because then when you're reading it, your eye just glides over it and you don't stop and pause and think, what a dumb choice of word.
Well, yeah, it's
word
garbage.
That was Andrew's writing corner.
I don't know. I still like this book, though. And I think it might just be because we've read some real stinker unis in the last couple weeks that are just real bad.
Well, I mean, the other books had character. This one is just so boring.
Let's read some reviews.
Before we do that, I just wanted to say I felt like there was a bit of a problem in this book that we ran into last season with another book called My Werewolf Professor, where we have a character who claims to be a certain thing, but we don't really have any proof whatsoever that they are actually the thing that they claim to be.
Aside from the blood licking.
Well, but a human can lick blood.
And the coercion.
That's true.
Well, he did appear when she was in the bar getting flirted with by the guy. That is not the right word, but whatever. He appears next to her in the flash of, in the blink of an eye. So
yeah. Maybe she just has some brain problems that don't allow her to see motion.
Now, jeez, that would be a really interesting read of this book. There is no Alice. There is no, well, there is the bar. She went there, but there is no anything else. She just imagined it all because of her brain damage.
Yeah, maybe she's lying in a hospital bed touching herself.
Yeah.
Well,
in small little circles.
Yes.
I mean, I don't
That'd be a good erotic story we could read. It's just some like really fantastical thing, and then they wake up in a hospital and they've just been jerking off the whole time, and they're being studied by like a team of neuroscientists trying to discover the link between this particular sort of brain damage and the sexual arousal system of the brain.
I mean, I don't know if anybody would write that though, because I'm pretty sure that's just chomping real hard on the flavor of the Neverending Story.
No, I think Oliver Sacks wrote a book about that. Except it was Oliver Sack.
Yeah.
In this sexual situation, what does like the encompassing darkness from that story mean?
It's the eventual feeling of dread and existential like nothingness that happens after you finish. Like when you come, you realize that the world actually sucks. Also, I thought at the end of that movie, it turns out that it was like, I mean, it's obviously not a kid lying in a hospital bed touching himself, because that would be gross and like not good, but it's like a young adult who like was put into a coma when he was like 12, so he imagines himself to be that old.
Listen, Sam, I gotta be real with you. I haven't seen The Neverending Story in like probably over a decade. All I can know is
either.
That it's got that big white dragon in it.
Yeah, that's definitely a metaphor for the penis.
Falcor.
Yeah.
That's his name. The Luck Dragon. Anyway, can we talk about the reviews? Because I found another through line for this season.
Okay.
By Denise. But not Denise. D-E-N-I-E-C-E.
Denise.
So like Denise. 3 stars is the title of the review. You want to know what the text of the review is? It's two letters. Guess what they are.
Okay.
Fuck. Why does this keep happening?
Because people don't know what to review.
Why do people...
I mean, I think it's that these people don't exist. They're Amazon bots.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I probably should have looked at reviews beforehand, huh?
There's one that's very confusing.
Yeah, Andrew, do another.
It's very long. It's by, what's her name? Sharon Chalk.
Yeah, that's the one I'm trying to comprehend right now.
Read the whole thing. Go
no,
for
I
it.
I can't. No. I'm not going to.
Do
I'll
it.
Read some of it. No, it's like 2 pages long. This was well written with very few errors. False. Was a good story. False. At first, I wasn't sure how I felt about it because he saves her on page one. False. And he figures out they are mates and they are together from that time on. False, 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 false. She's astounded at how much she wants him, and there's a lot of well-written sex scenes. False. Within a week, he must tell her he is a vampire. False. But he gives her all the choices and forces no decisions on her. False.
Well, okay. See, I think this might be reviewing the whole series.
Definitely
a
different book.
Or a different book entirely. Because, yeah. Maybe. Yeah. Because that's the thing, is there's like... Because there's a thing in here, too, where there's a review that's 5 stars from Cynthia Stevens, who says, I love this book. Yes, he saves her, but he never at any point thinks they are mates. At least not the copy the writer sent out as a review copy. So I think there must have been like a longer version at one point or something, because like, what the hell? Yeah. Like, what is this mates bullshit? Like, we didn't get to any of that, in at least in this chapter, which I'm okay with, because literally this was like 16 pages long, which... There is a nice person here, Valerie Campbell, who rates it 1 star out of 5 with a title, Short Story for Sure, paid $3.50 to read 16 pages. Guess it
Damn,
was my
dude.
Fault for not reading how long the book was. But seriously, that's a chunk of money for so little other books I've pled that money for have been a weekend's read, not worth it.
Man, that one really fell off the wagon at the end.
I don't know what happened there.
Their fury just kind of morphed into mushmouth typing. Wow, we didn't pay any money for this book, right? We paid zero.
Yeah, it was free.
This book has some weird, like, weird situational stuff around it, doesn't it? What's going on with this story?
I don't know.
What's the conspiracy?
I don't know. Let's read the author bio to
I
see if there's
what
anything
happened.
There.
That lady was, she read Vampire Weekend, and then she started speaking in California English.
Oh!
I'll read the bio of Sadie Koenig, so that way we can see if there's anything there. Hi, everyone. My name is Sadie Koenig. I don't know. I have always been considered the girl who talks and thinks about sex nonstop. One of my girlfriends once told me I had a dirty enough mouth to write smut. Boy, was she right. I write romance and erotica because I find it a blast. It turns me on that it turns you on. Thanks for visiting my page, and I hope you enjoy the stories. And then we can sign up for her newsletter if we want.
So I Googled her name, and the first thing that came up was Taken Into the Wolf Pack, book number one. Did we read that book?
No.
No.
We read a different wolf one.
We've only read one werewolf book, let me remind you.
Yeah, that's true.
And that was backwards be assed.
Yeah, there's quite a saturation of the genre.
But anyway, yeah, so I mean that was overall there's 3.5 stars is the total for like 18 reviews. So
which
fairly
is not
well distributed.
A good review.
Yeah.
I mean, or not an accurate review, I should say.
I mean, yeah, I'm surprised that it's so good. Let's get to our own reviews.
Okay.
Andrew, you go first.
Oh, man. Well,
I would have to say that this book, and now I'm not stalling here. Let me just make that perfectly clear. But this book was certainly a book that is capable of being reviewed. And not only capable, but is going to be reviewed by me.
This is good. This is good content.
Yeah. And so, as such, being a book that is capable of being reviewed and will be reviewed... by me, who is not stalling. God, it's hard to think
do you want
and
one
stall
of us
at the
to
same
do it?
Time.
Do you
yeah,
want
would you?
Okay, I'll go first. My review is 2 nondescript smells and 1 tender kiss.
Oh, wow. How sweet.
Because, I don't know, I actually did enjoy reading it, but maybe that's because we've just been so saturated with other not good things. And I had, I guess, to be fair, I was able to kind of just skim it more so than actually like delve into the fact that there are lots of adjectives and adverbs that are misplaced and misused. But I don't know. It was quick. It was easy. Just like a good vampire sex romp.
I'm going to give this book I'm going to give it a nondescript main character so far that we don't even really know her name until third of the way through. And a snore, because I fell asleep in the middle of it.
Ooh, the coveted Maggie Snore Award.
The coveted Maggie Snore Award. And
heretofore only awarded to this book and a bathroom stall at high school.
Oh, wow. That is going to follow me forever. Why am I friends with you? Because that's going to follow me for the rest of my life. You have to bring up that kind of bullshit when, you know, whatever.
Maggie, don't even. Whatever. You bring up all sorts of bullshit all the time about all the people you know, just so that way you can make us all look bad because you fell asleep in a bathroom stall in high school.
Sam.
Hey, man. It was a hard time in life.
Yeah. I'm not blaming her for it. I'm just saying that she does the same thing to all of us all the time.
Sam, just because you're ashamed of like your whole life, and so whenever I bring up any part of your life, you're upset, doesn't mean that people should keep bringing up the bathroom stall thing. I get it. Okay. I fell asleep. It was funny. But it's over now.
It was really funny.
Nearly 10
Almost
years
a
ago.
A decade ago.
Just like Time Vampire flies. Weekend.
Yeah, Maggie was probably asleep in that bathroom right around the time Vampire Weekend was releasing an album.
Yeah.
Probably.
How weird. Nice anyway, little coincidences.
I rate this book. Oh, shit. I didn't think of one. I had one. Editors. Number of editors that have
Zero.
Been used on this season out of the total number of books. So like 2 out of 10, maybe.
All right. Well, thank you so much for listening. Check us out on Facebook at TD3Sum or on Twitter at TD3SumPodcast.
TheDevil'sThreesomePodcast@gmail.com. That's all letters.
That's true.
Like, email us suggestions for books or put them on our Facebook. Like we said last week, we want to read books that we like.
Yeah. We want to read books that you like.
Yeah. That's really where the fun part of this is not reading about, like, gnarly gross shit, but reading about, like, fun,
gross
consensual,
shit.
Happy gross mm-hmm. shit.
Yeah. And if the legal representation to Richard Gere is listening to this episode, I just wanted to make it clear that we were talking about Richard Gere, G-E-A-R, not
yep,
G-E-R-E.
That's right.
And that's why we said that gear pun, like he dressed up like a gear.
Yeah.
Which wouldn't work if his name was not spelled G-E-A-R.
I mean, it would still work. It's just kind of more of an advanced pun.
It wouldn't work, Maggie.
And also that movie reference, when we said Pretty Woman, it's actually... Yeah. Pretty and then WOMAN, which is a different movie than the
and
one you're thinking of.
We never said the name of that one dog movie, so I think we're in the clear.
Why would it have a dog on the cover? I really want to. I'm hoping it's one of those body switching movies.
Here,
like
I'm gonna look it up.
I'm a dog
Ready?
Now.
I'm looking up Richard Gere dog movie. Richard Gere dog movie. Oh wow! It auto completed for me. So take that.
So Google is listening in on our conversation.
It's a Hachi, a dog's tail.
Ah, yes, Hachi, of course. A dog's T-A-I-L.
Tail.
it's an Akita. It's the dog is an Akita.
Same thing. Homophones are fun. I've been Andrew Coles. This has been The Devil's Threesome, your erotic book club.
That's right.
And these two people are ashamed and don't want to tell you their names.
I'm a college professor who forms a lasting bond with a dog that I find on a train platform. Maggie. Aww.
And I'm Sam Carr.
Thanks for listening. Yeah, that was it. It's over. It's done.
Ta-da!
The music is
playing. Hey, we hit an hour. We did it.
Yay! Did we? I'm only at 58.
Wow, I'm at an hour and 1 minute.
Well, let's keep recording for 2 more minutes, and then you can get some garbage that'll go at the end.
No, I've already stopped recording.
Yeah, it's done.
Have I? I tried. I keep clicking it, but it's not working.
Wow. All right. Thanks for listening. This episode was pretty buck wild out there. So sorry about that.
I think it was a pretty. I think we reined this one in pretty well. Actually,
I was gonna say I think we actually stayed on topic more so than we have in the past like five episodes.
Middle of the road.
God, that's upsetting.
TV threesome.
Is it?
How do we get so, like if this one was good, like?
Well, no one's saying it was good. We're just saying it's middle of the road.
Yeah, it was not good. This episode was pretty bad, actually.
Middling at best.
Sorry we made you listen to this. Damn. If you're still listening now, I'm impressed.
God, tell me about it.